Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member of Avram Gold. I am there, Mesechus Bava Metzia, Daf Samech Tes, the fifth parak, Ezuhu Neshech. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara relates an incident of an iska, where one partner divided the money of the profits without the other partner's knowledge and reinvested it, enabling him to take all the future profit of his half and half the profits of the other partner's half. Rav Papa told his partner that the division was valid because Rav Nachman said, Zuzik man de pligi damu. Money is considered already divided since it does not require assessment, and one partner can divide it on his own. The next year they made an iska with wine, and the second partner divided the profits without his friend's knowledge. Rav Papa asked him what right he had to divide it on his own, and the partner protested that Rav Papa always ruled against him. Rav Papa explained that in contrast to money, where all coins are equal so long as they're all the same quality coins, wine cannot be divided unilaterally because kuyam yade de ikat debasim ve ikat debasim. Everyone knows that there's flavorful wine and wine which is not so flavorful. So an assessment is required to divide it. The Gemara concludes that if some coins were good, meaning readily accepted, and some were heavy, meaning containing more silver, where each type has an advantage, the division requires this partner's knowledge. Pointing to Rav Chama used to rent out Zuz coins for a daily fee and lost all his money as a punishment for violating Ribbis. He initially reasoned, Mishnah Mamara, how is it different from renting out an item such as a spade? Just as one may charge to rent out a spade, the same should be permitted with money. The Gemara says that this is not so. A spade is itself returned at the end of the rental period, and its loss through onus or use is the owner's responsibility, and its depreciation through its use is recognizable, for which the owner can charge. In contrast, coins are not themselves returned at the end of the rental period, but replaced, which defines it as a halva, and its depreciation through use is not recognizable, so the owner had no justification to charge for its use. And point number three, Rav said that one can say to his fellow, Halach arbu zuze, ba'ozve lepolanya zuze, here are four zuzim for you, lend money to Ploni. Although the lender profits from this loan, it's permitted because la'asur Torah el ribbis haba malova lemilva, the Torah only forbade ribbis which is paid from the borrower to the lender, as opposed to this case where a third party paid the lender on his own. Rav also said it's permitted to say to someone, Shakala arbu zuze, take these four zuzi for yourself, veimer laponi la'ozvan zuze, and tell Ploni that he should lend me money. He explains, Schara Mirka Shako, the third party is merely taking payment for speaking to the lender on the borrower's behalf. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara relates an incident of an iska, where one partner divided the money of the profits without the other partner's knowledge and reinvested it, enabling him to take all the future profit of his half and half the profits of the other partner's half. Rav Papa told his partner that the division was valid because Rav Nachman said, Zuzik man de pligi damu. Money is considered already divided since it does not require assessment, and one partner can divide it on his own. The next year they made an iska with wine, and the second partner divided the profits without his friend's knowledge. Rav Papa asked him what right he had to divide it on his own, and the partner protested that Rav Papa always ruled against him. Rav Papa explained that in contrast to money, where all coins are equal so long as they're all the same quality coins, wine cannot be divided unilaterally because kuyam yade de ikat debasim ve ikat debasim. Everyone knows that there's flavorful wine and wine which is not so flavorful. So an assessment is required to divide it. The Gemara concludes that if some coins were good, meaning readily accepted, and some were heavy, meaning containing more silver, where each type has an advantage, the division requires this partner's knowledge. Pointing to Rav Chama used to rent out Zuz coins for a daily fee and lost all his money as a punishment for violating Ribbis. He initially reasoned, Mishnah Mamara, how is it different from renting out an item such as a spade? Just as one may charge to rent out a spade, the same should be permitted with money. The Gemara says that this is not so. A spade is itself returned at the end of the rental period, and its loss through onus or use is the owner's responsibility, and its depreciation through its use is recognizable, for which the owner can charge. In contrast, coins are not themselves returned at the end of the rental period, but replaced, which defines it as a halva, and its depreciation through use is not recognizable, so the owner had no justification to charge for its use. And point number three, Rav said that one can say to his fellow, Halach arbu zuze, ba'ozve lepolanya zuze, here are four zuzim for you, lend money to Ploni. Although the lender profits from this loan, it's permitted because la'asur Torah el ribbis haba malova lemilva. The Torah only forbade ribbis which is paid from the borrower to the lender, as opposed to this case where a third party paid the lender on his own. Rav also said it's permitted to say to someone, Shakala arbu zuze, take these four zuzi for yourself, veimer laponi la'ozvan zuze, and tell Ploni that he should lend me money. He explains, Schara Mirka Shako, the third party is merely taking payment for speaking to the lender on the borrower's behalf. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Samech Tes, and this Siman was suggested to us by Mordechai Golombek from Passaic, New Jersey. He suggested that Samech Tes is soot, and we often use a chimney sweep in the Siman. So here goes. After the partner of Swift Sweeper Chimney Sweeps Incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes needed to be assessed, as opposed to the cash, his partner then decided to rent out his brushes, though he could not rent out the cash, and gave some money to his friend to lend money to Ploni, the poor chimney sweeper. Once again, slow motion. After the partner of Swift Sweeper, Chimney Sweeps, Chimney Sweep, that must run Duff, Samach Tess, Soot. After the partner of Swift Sweeper, Chimney Sweeps Incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes need to be assessed, as opposed to the cash, which reminds us, we learned that one can unilaterally divide a partnership of money, but not a partnership of merchandise, such as wine. Pup explained that in contrast to money where all coins are equal, so long as they're all the same quality coins, wine cannot be divided unilaterally because everyone knows that there's flavorful wine and wine which is not so flavorful, so an assessment is required to divide it. So, after the partner of Swift Sweeper Chimney Sweeps Incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes needed to be assessed as opposed to the cash, his partner then decided to rent out his brushes, though he could not rent out the cash, which reminds us Rav Chama used to rent out Ziz coins for a daily fee and lost all his money as a punishment for violating Ribbis. He had initially reasoned how is it different from renting out an item such as a spade? Just as when we charge to rent out a spade, the same should be permitted with money. The Gemara says that this isn't so, because a spade is itself returned at the end of the rental period, and its loss through onus or use is the owner's responsibility, and its depreciation through its use is recognizable for which the owner can charge. In contrast, coins are not themselves returned at the end of the rental periods, but replaced, which defines it as a halva, and its depreciation through use is not recognizable, so the owner had no justification to charge for its use. So, after the partner of Swiss Sweeper Chimney Sweeps Incorporated pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes needed to be assessed as opposed to the cash, his partner then decided to rent out his brushes, though he could not rent out the cash, and gave some money to his friend to lend money to Plony, the poor chimney sweeper. Which reminds us, Rava said that one can say to his fellow, here are 4 zuzim for you, lend money to Plony. Although the lender profits from this loan, it's permitted because the Torah only forbade ribbis, which is paid from the borrower to the lender, as opposed to this case where a third party paid the lender on his own. So once again, after the partner of Swiss Sweeper Chimney Sweeps pulled out his half of the corporation when the brushes need to be assessed as opposed to the cash, his partner then decided to rent out his brushes, though he could not rent out the cash, and gave some money to his friend to lend money to Pony the poor Chimney Sweeper. Alright, so now it's time for 4 Blabat Chazara. Daf Samachay. So the Simur Daf Samachay is a seh, a sheep. So here goes. The shepherd, shepherd, that must be Daf Samachay, seh, sheep. The shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen, since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Marbina al-Sakar, one may increase the rent of his property for delayed payment, vein Marbina al-Mechr, but one may not increase the purchase price of his sale because of delayed payment. Rabbi and Rav Yosef explain the difference. Schiros ena mishtalemes el basof, rent is only owed at the end of the term. Since the money is owed at the end of each month, not the beginning of the year, the monthly price of a sale is its actual value and not a charge for delayed payment. Rather, the owner is offering him a reduced rate for paying beforehand. Regarding a sale where payment is owed immediately, any increase in price for delayed payment is ribbis. So, the shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, and then also paid a higher price for a new staff he bought on credit, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Tarsha Shari, selling on credit for a higher price is permitted. He was challenged from a Mishnah which prohibits charging more for delay payment, and Rav Nachman answered, Hasam Katzle, there in the Mishnah, he also set from the price for immediate payment, demonstrating that the higher price is a charge for delayed payment. Hacha lo katzle, here in Rav Nachman's case, he didn't set from the lower price for immediate payment. So the shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen, since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, and also paid a higher price for a new staff he bought on credit, made a partial payment for a field and then was told by the seller that when he pays the balance, the field will retroactively belong to him, which is forbidden to do. Which reminds us, the next mention states that if someone sold a field and after the buyer gave partial payment, the seller told him that whenever he would pay the balance, he would own the field retroactively, this is forbidden. Rav Huna said in such a case, the seller eats the produce, and Rav Anan said it's held by a third party until the owner during the interim is determined. The Gemara goes on to explain that there is no argument. Daf Samach Vav. So the Siman Daf Samach Vav relates to sew, and we use a tailor for the Siman. So here goes. The tailor, tailor, that must be one Daf Samach Vav. So the tailor who sewed on the back of the customer's suit, who bought land without a chrais, and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, Betume Mili Ba'amahu, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident of a man who sold a property without a chrais, a guarantee of reimbursement if it's collected by the seller's Baal Chov. The seller saw the buyer was unhappy and pledged to reimburse the land and its improvements and produce with high-quality land if it was taken. Amemar said, Betume Mili Ba'amahu, it's merely words of comfort and not a binding commitment. Since the stipulation should be made by the buyer, since it's for his benefit, and the seller made the offer himself, It's not effective. So the tailor who sold on the back of the customer's suit who bought land without a chrayus and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, Patume Mili Biamahu, and then stitched the word asmacht on the shirt of a lender who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as security if he does not pay back on time, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught where a lender said that if the borrower does not pay on time, he can keep his field, which was a security, the stipulation is effective. Rav Nachman retracted his original ruling and said that even if the agreement was made at the time of the loan, well, kind of a low clump, he does not acquire anything. The agreement is an asmachta, a commitment made without thinking he would have to keep it, which Rav Nachman ruled ineffective. So the tailor who sold on the back of the customer's suit who bought land without a chrayus and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, but to me mili bahamahu, and then stitched the word asmachta on the shirt of a lender who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as a security if he does not pay back on time, informed the borrower that his field is returned as well as the produce taken by the lender, not because mechila betaus havi mechila, but because it looks like ribbis, which reminds us Rav Nachman said, once the rabbis ruled that an asmachta is not binding, the field returns to the borrower and all the produce taken by the lender also returns and is repaid if it consumed. The Gemara clarifies that this is not because Rav Nachman holds mechil betaus havi mechila, a mistaken waiver is not an effective waiver, but rather that in the case of a loan, the lender must nevertheless return the produce to avoid the appearance of ribbis. Daf Samach Zayin. So the Siman Daf Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. The end of Zman barbecue, that must be more on Daf Samach Zayin, sizzling barbecue. The end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of Avak Ribbis, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident which someone sold property but retained the right to redeem it when he can. This is forbidden because of Ribbis, since if he redeems it, the purchase money was like a loan to the seller, and the buyer's consumption of produce in the interim is Ribbis. The Gemara asks if the produce consumption is considered Ribbis Kutsutsa, set Ribbis, and must be repaid to the seller, or only Avak Ribbis, secondary Ribbis, which he's not forced to repay. Rabba Bar Rav Huna and Rabba ruled that it's Avak Ribbis. So the end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of Avak Ribbis. And then the Bachrim who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them, which reminds us, Rava said regarding a pledge property in a place where the borrower can evict the lender before the loan is due by paying early, then if the lender consumed the field's produce equal to the amount of money loaned, which is forbidden as Avak Ribbis, the borrower can consider the produce as payment for the loan and evict him. Any produce he ate beyond that amount is not collected from him since it's Avak Ribbis. So the end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of Avak Ribbis. And then the Bachrim who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them since they forgot to arrange a yearly reduction of the debt, which reminds us, Rava said regarding a pledged property in a place where the borrower can remove the lender by paying early, the lender may only eat its produce with a fixed yearly reduction of the debt, which is permitted even if the reduction is less than the produce's likely value, because it's effectively a sale of the produce and not ribbis, and he accepts the risk of a failed crop. Still, Atzubra Merabban, a rabbinical scholar, should not utilize this leniency to avoid even the appearance of ribbis, since he serves as a model for others. Daf Samaches, so the Simmer Daf Samaches is Schach. So here goes. After the Schach farmer, that must mean we're on Daf Samaches, Schach. After the Schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan and then lease it back from the lender via Chakirin Narshai, since it looks like Ribbis, which reminds the Gemara discusses Chakirin Narshai, Narshan leases, which state in the collateral document that Pony the borrower pledges land to Pony the lender and then leased it back from him for a fixed yearly amount. Although a mishkanta may be permitted with yearly deductions, this lease is prohibited because people will say, when did the lender acquire it that he can lease it to the borrower? Although he legally possessed the land and may lease it to anyone, leasing it back to the borrower gives the impression that the lender never took it and the lease amount is ribbis. So, after the schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan and then lease it back from the lender via a chakirin arshai, since it looks like ribbis, he set up an iska arrangement with the storekeeper to sell a schach and keep half his profits or losses, which reminds us the next mission states, Ein moshivim chemveni l'machsid schar. One may not set up a storekeeper with goods which he'll sell from for half the profit, nor can one give someone money to buy goods and sell them for half the profit, unless he gives them wages like a worker. This is the arrangement of iska, business, in which one person provides the goods or capital, and the other sells the goods, and they divide the profit. The managing partner assumes liability for half the losses of the goods, which renders that half a loan, and he only retains profit from the half loaned to him. Therefore, his selling the goods of the other half is providing a free service for the lender and constitutes ribbis, unless the managing partner is paid wages for a service. So after the schach farmer was prohibited to pledge his palm tree property for a loan and then lease it back from the lender via chakiri narshai, since it looks like ribbis, he set up an iska arrangement with the storekeeper to sell his schach and keep half his profits or losses, paying him full wages like a polo battle, which reminds us in a brisa tanaim dispute how much the managing partner must be paid to permit iska. Rabbi Meir says any amount is sufficient, whether a lot or a little. Rabbi Yehuda says even if he merely dipped food in fish sauce with the one providing the capital, or only ate one dried fig with him, this is sufficient for his weight. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, "No son scharo mishalim." He must be paid his full wages, which Rashi explains to mean like a poel batel. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we learn why one can charge rent for use of an item, but not for money? That's on daf Samach Tes. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that one may increase the rent of his property for delayed payment, but one may not increase the purchase price of a sale for delayed payment? That's on daf Samachay. Good. Number 3, which daf do we have Malchus regarding how much the managing partner must be paid for Iska? That's on daf Samaches. Good. Number 4, which daf do you discuss a pledged property in a place where the borrower can evict the lender before the loan is due by paying early? That's on daf Samach Zayin. Good. Number 5, which daf do you learn the general claw for ribbis? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 6, which daf do you learn the Torah only forbids ribbis from the lova to the malva? That's on daf Samach Tes. Good. Number 7, which of the one that sometimes a stipulation is Petume Mili Ba'amalu? They're just mere words of comfort and it therefore is not binding. That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number 8, which of the one about the arrangement of Iska business in which one person provides the goods or capital and the other sells the goods and they divide the profit? That's on daf Samach Tes. Good. Number 9, which of the one the difference between unilaterally dividing a partnership of money versus a partnership of merchandise? That's on daf Samach Tes. Good. And number 10, which of the one that Chakiri Narshai are prohibited since it appears like ribbis? That's on daf Samach Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldharp from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.